Sometimes play begins when he greets us with a joke. I thought, well, maybe I should try that. But I'm not sure this is a joke. This might be a question for you to ponder and then think about it, particularly after you hear the message this morning. But do you know the difference between a pig and a sheep? When a sheep falls into a mud hole, it bleats and bleats until the good shepherd comes to rescue it. But when a pig falls into a mud hole, it just wallows and stays there. That's it. Continuing this series of sermons out of the Gospel of John, and we'll leave it until Easter. And this morning, we're going to look at the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus talks about being the Good Shepherd. Now, as Clay has pointed out repeatedly, there is a major difference between John's Gospel, the 4th Gospel, and the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And one of the differences that John gives us is that he has a series of sayings throughout his gospel in which Jesus says, I am. They're known as the I am sayings. They include saying, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And at least four other ones. And during this season of Lent, like I told you earlier, Reuben Shelley is going to teach on Wednesday nights on these different I am sayings of Jesus. But this morning, since Clay said we gotta keep preaching through the gospel, I wanna focus chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I don't think you can really think about that verse in chapter 10 or the whole chapter itself without also thinking about the 23rd Psalm, which begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you've ever had the good fortune to make a trip to the Holy Lands, I can promise you that you will never read the Bible the same way again. It will always come much more alive for you. I remember the first time that when I went to the Holy Lands, one of the scenes that struck me particularly was that of the shepherd with the sheep. And from biblical days until today, the shepherd has been always one of the most familiar figures in the countryside, in the Holy Land. By day or by night, in rain or in sunshine, the shepherd is always out there with his sheep. In fact, when Jesus was born, we are told it was to the shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks by night, that the good news of Jesus' birth was first told. Until I went to the Holy Lands, I always pictured the shepherd and their sheep as being white dots on a beautiful green background. The white sheep, the white robe of the shepherd, and on a nice grassy, hilly, pastoral type of scene. But when I got there, I discovered how wrong I was, because so much of the Holy Land, most of the Holy Land, is not covered with green grassy meadows and so forth, but it's very dry, it's very arid, it's very rocky. There are a lot of hills, but they're not covered with green grass. They're covered with stones and boulders. And quite often, instead of standing out against a grassy background, the shepherd and the sheep blend right in to this rocky boulder-type background. In fact, you've got to look hard in order to see them in the midst of all these stones. So they are always there in rain or sunshine, by night or by day, shepherds with weather-worn skin and weather-worn clothes, holding 8-foot-long staffs that have a curve on the end of it. And that curve on the end of it is kind of like I had when I was a lifeguard in a swimming pool. If someone's drowning, if a sheep falls in the water, even though there's not a lot of water going on the land, you can rescue it with that staff on the end. Or if a sheep falls over a cliff, use that hook on the end to get a hold of it and to pull it back. The shepherds also have a club that's known as a rod, and it's basically a club in order to defend the sheep from wild animals that might attack them. But the shepherds love their sheep. They know them individually. They know them by name. And when the sheep begin to wander astray, which is easy to do, because if the sheep are eating a tuft of grass here, and there's not a lot of grass here, they'll wander to the next tuft they see, and then to the next one. Before long, they've wandered off from the rest of the flock. But when they wander astray, the shepherd will go get them and quickly bring them back. When they get into trouble, the shepherd will rescue them. During the day, the sheep will come up to the shepherd one at a time for rubbing, for petting, for loving. And at night, the shepherd will lead his sheep into an enclosed area known as a sheepfold, which quite often is a cave or an indented place in the hillside amidst the rocks, where they will be safe for the night. And the shepherd will even lie down across the entrance to that sheepfold and will sleep there all night long, so that if any wild animals come to threaten the sheep, or if any of the sheep start to wander out in the middle of the night, they will have to cross his body first. So such is the real picture of the shepherd and his sheep. Not in beautiful green grassy meadows, but on dusty, rocky hillsides, which makes it even more challenging for the shepherd to take care of the sheep. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 10, we are told how the shepherd and the sheep know each other so well because they spend so much time together, day and night. He says the sheep know his voice, and they follow him when he calls. Now, if you call the Lord your shepherd, and I'm going to assume that you do because you're here this morning, would you say that you know each other so well because you spend so much time together that you clearly know God's voice when he speaks? Do you recognize God's voice well enough that you don't let it be confused with the myriad of other voices that are constantly trying to speak to you every day and get your attention? Of course, God speaks to us best through the Bible. Do you read it enough that you're familiar with what he has to say, so that you will recognize God's message when you hear it? The 23rd Psalm is even more specific about how the Lord, as our shepherd, takes care of our needs. It says, for example, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What has that got to do with sheep? What does it have to do with us? It's said that a shepherd will start his sheep grazing as early as 4 o'clock in the morning. And like I said, the sheep wander constantly as they graze. They're never standing still. By 10 o'clock in the morning, especially in the Holy Land, the sun is beaming down and the sheep are hot, tired, and thirsty. But the wise shepherd knows that sheep should not drink when it is so hot and when their stomachs are full of undigested grass. So the shepherd makes them lie down and rest and chew their cud and digest their grass before he leads them to water. And so it is with us. The Lord knows that you and I need regular times to rest and renew ourselves. We can't keep going at the hectic pace most of us travel, or else we're going to crash and burn. And you know that if you've experienced that crash and burn. But that's why we are told that we need at least one day each week, we call it a Sabbath, that we are to rest and renew ourselves. But the problem is, we don't do it. We think we're superhumans who never need to slow down until we pay the price. Listen to the following poem, which is a prayer, and see if you can identify with it. Slow me down, Lord. ease the poundings of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give me amid the confusion of the day the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pet a dog, to smile at a child, to read a few lines from a good book. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values, that I may grow toward the stars of my greater destiny. Remind me each day that the race is not always to the swift, and that there is more to life than increasing its speed. You ever wonder what it means in the 23rd Psalm when it says that the Good Shepherd anoints my head with oil? The sheep are animals that can easily get hurt. There are sharp thorns that can often scratch or cut their ears or noses. There are wild animals that can attack them. There are even flies that annoy them, especially in summer, and lay their eggs on the sheep, and then the larvae just drive the sheep wild. Every night, as the shepherd brings his sheep into the sheepfold, he would stand at the entrance and examine each sheep individually, looking for cuts, bruises, scratches, and bites. And then he would pour oil in the wounds to make sure that they would heal. To me, that's a metaphor for the way the Lord will heal our wounds and our bruises, our cuts, our scrapes, even our brokenness in life, if we'll only let Him. That's why we have so many recovery ministries here at Woodmont and a center for healing and spirituality. We want to heal broken people. My favorite verse in chapter 10 of John is verse 10, where the Good Shepherd says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Or some translations say that you might have life in all its fullness. There is a very big difference between merely existing in this world and living life to the fullest. Too many people settle for merely existing, and then the strange thing is they think they're living life to the fullest. But Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, wants His sheep to have a most wonderful, full, and complete life as is possible. And I think this also relates to what the 23rd Psalm says when it says, the Good Shepherd prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup overflows. To understand that bounteous table in the presence of your enemies, I think you need to begin by first asking, who or what are your enemies? And an enemy is anything or anyone that keeps you from fullness of life, that keeps you from the abundant life that Christ wants for you. And we all have enemies of different types. Some have physical enemies, sickness, or physical injuries that keep you from fullness of life. We also have emotional enemies that keep us from living fully. Worry, fear, anxiety, depression, despair, loneliness, feeling empty inside. Whatever your enemy might be, the Good Shepherd offers what it takes to heal and to overcome. And that Good Shepherd Jesus, when He left this world, also created the church, which means the followers of Jesus, which means you and me, means Woodmont Christian Church. And we call ourselves the body of Christ because we now have a responsibility of carrying out, continuing that mission and ministry of Christ in this world, a ministry of help and hope and healing for people who are not knowing fullness of life, reaching out to the community in which we exist and to the world around us that needs that help, hope, and healing so much. And so, for example, if your enemy is loneliness, and studies show that loneliness is the number one cause of death in our society today, then God will provide you a table that is full of friends who will truly care about you. And how much I am grateful because of you and the way that you live your lives here one month, that when new people come and become a part of our church, the thing that I hear the most is, I've never been in a church where people care about each other so much. And it's so true, and it's so wonderful, but that's what we're called to be and to do, to take care of one another. So no matter what your problem or your pain might be in life, I have never seen one that couldn't be overcome. If people would just be patient and trust in God's working, especially working through people who care and doing your part in order to overcome whatever the trouble might be. Now, God's not going to do it for you, but God will do it with you. Because of this, the psalmist goes on to say, my cup overflows. Again, I didn't fully realize what this means until I went to the Holy Lands. In the temple area in Jerusalem, outside where the temple used to be, there are these huge stone structures, 10, 15 feet tall, that look like giant coffee cups. And I asked the guy, I said, well, what are those things? And he said, those structures were built to collect rainwater during the few months when it rained each year, so that the people would have enough water to get through the dry time of the year. And so if those structures were filled to overflowing by the rainwater, the people knew that they had enough water to get through the dry part of the year. And so the psalmist says, my cup overflows. But I think that phrase is also in reference to all of God's overflowing blessings in your life and mine, besides just water. We have so many, many blessings. But you know, too many people are so focused on what's wrong in the world today that they can't see what's right. Focused on wanting more, that they can't really appreciate what they already have. So Jesus says, I am your good shepherd. But we won't know the shepherd unless we spend time with him. We won't know his voice unless we listen. We won't benefit from still waters and green pastures unless we follow. We won't find the abundant life unless we know the shepherd, listen to his voice, and do what he says. And we will not face death without fear unless we are truly aware of the fact that our shepherd is with us. Do you have time for that?